Hi there, I'm Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans, and you're listening to the Social Media Know-How podcast. In this episode, I speak to Jeff Rawls of Salesforce all about how to build an audience on social media. If you have any questions or feedback, please feel free to tweet us at Link Humans and check out the SM Know-How hashtag. Okay, so I'm here with Jeffrey K. Rawls, or Jeff, from Salesforce, and your title is actually Vice President Marketing Insights, and of course you're also the author of Audience, Marketing in the Age of Subscribers, Fans, and Followers. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Right, so I wanted to ask you a few questions around audiences and social media. The first one really being something that struck a chord with me in your book is what is the value of a social audience and how can you really measure it?
Well, you start with the loaded question. So let me see if I can unpack it a bit. First of all, the value just of an audience, right, is that you have an exclusive right to communicate with a group of folks who've given you permission to do so. That's true whether you're a marketer or whether you're a performer or a preacher or a politician. What social media and the web and the era of mobile devices have given brands is the ability to speak to these consumers who are hand raisers, who are saying, hey, I'm going to open up this channel and I'm going to allow you to communicate with me through it. You know, the first channel in the internet age to allow for that was really email and the website. And then, of course, in the last 10 years, we've had this explosion of social channels, ranging from Facebook to Twitter to Snapchat to the over-the-top messaging services like WhatsApp. And so the value is really one that is competitive, potentially differentiated, and potentially lower cost. So when you have that open mic through a channel and you can reach a group of folks who have given you permission to speak with them, that can ultimately give you a jump start, a leg up on the competition who has not built those direct audiences. And so it's a little bit of a different way of thinking of social media in terms of outcome and in terms of assets, because audiences are assets. They have true monetary value. There's a reason we pay for advertising, because we are relying on third parties to give us that access. We're willing to pay for that access. But when you build social audiences that are direct, now you've eliminated the third party cost. You have your sweat equity cost, right? How the cost of actually building the audience yourself. And then the value of it can be calculated in innumerable ways. And right now it's somewhat an imprecise science in many of the channels, because it's very difficult to track back precise value and influence. And there are ultimately, in the mobile and social era, there are multiple contributing factors that influence purchase decisions. But if we look at the audience you're building, and first and foremost try and ascribe a individual value to that, we could do that perhaps based on lifetime customer value, which is kind of the holy grail of understanding what is a customer worth to us, and then how does this channel add value over and above that. So if we can ultimately determine, okay, this is a customer and this is a customer who we also have permission to speak through this channel, we can look at the delta there and understand, okay, the difference that this channel gives us, let's say, is a few more bucks per customer, a few more dollars out of their pocket. We see that kind of evaluation with very sophisticated email clients, where they're able to get to that lifetime customer value and understand it. Boy, if you have a customer that actually provides us with an email address, that's going to give us X more dollars of value. For instance, we have a client who has determined that value is $30. So every time they get an email address, they look at that as an annualized $30 in additional revenue. And so anything they can do to drive permission-based email subscription, they're going to do, because they're building an audience that is ultimately worth more than just the average customer. Now, short of that lifetime customer value, that channel value, there are a lot of other different ways you can kind of calculate it. You know, the PR folks for years and years and years have been looking at kind of the media equivalency value. You know, what is the what would have been the cost to get that kind of exposure to that size of an audience through a paid third party channel? And then they'll, you know, ascribe that to the value that they've created through whatever social or direct channel. You can also look at comparative value. So if you have a competitor offering an incentive for you to, say, become a Twitter follower, a Facebook fan, or what have you, email subscriber, if you don't have the metrics, you can say, okay, well, they're willing to pay that much for it. Let's use that as just a benchmark right now until we get to a point where we can be more sophisticated, more precise in our valuation. So maybe to sum it up, the audience value really is that ability to speak direct to the consumer so that you can reduce your dependency on paid media and ultimately increase the speed with which you can go to market with new ideas, new products, or hopefully increase social amplification.
Okay, really interesting. And what would you say, if you look at different social channels and even emails, is there a, because typically the ultimate goal to get leads is to get someone to sign up with their email address. Would you say, mm-hmm. so would you say that's the highest form of subscription there is, as opposed to just following on Twitter or LinkedIn or somewhere?
I think if you look at kind of most of the thought leaders in the various practices in marketing, so a friend like Joe Polizzi over in Content Marketing World, he's going to say email. Like, he wants to get the email address because he can control the cadence, the time of send, the content, where he's directing people. The email channel gives you a lot more functionality than perhaps some of the other social channels. And so I see that as a commonality among other friends in the industry. Danny Sullivan over at Search Marketing Expo and Search Engine Land, Marketing Land, same kind of thing. However, I think you have to look at your industry. You have to look at your target market and your target consumer and see what channels are ultimately they using and interacting through. Don't make assumptions. I think a lot of folks over the last few years have made assumptions that younger consumers aren't using email, or they aren't doing this, or they're doing that, and they aren't actually looking at how their consumers are behaving. They're just reading headlines or research studies that are done on samples that are rather small. My advice to brands is talk to your consumers, observe them in the wild. If you have a retail space, watch what they do, see what they respond to. For the most part, I see the majority of companies emphasizing email and getting a very large return on that channel because of the control that they can exercise and the personalization that they can offer. You know, when you get that email address, it becomes that foundation around which you can build a single view of that consumer that doesn't just help you in the email channel. It helps you online through personalization. It helps you in social advertising targeting and personalization, because there's some interesting hybridization happening in that realm between email and social as well. So you really have to think of the individual audiences, you know, being in these channels, but at the heart of it, a consumer can be a member of multiple audiences, and how are you layering that in? And again, you know, to get back to the heart of your question, I do think email is, for the majority of industries, a very important place to begin, because you're building a little bit more on your land than you would in some of the other social channels. But that is not to minimize the power of those social channels. It's just to differentiate them.
Yeah. Great. And what are some of the challenges companies face in terms of audiences and, I guess, attracting them and retaining them?
Well, there are numerous ones. First of all, not thinking of yourself as a media company and somebody who builds audiences, instead of just thinking, of channels that you execute against. And so that's kind of the message of my book, Audiences, is that we've got to be thinking about audiences as this permanent asset that we're building. And that means we've got to have a person or a group of people who are thinking horizontally across the organization and strategically, not just channel specific, to say, okay, what audience should we be building, and how do we increase over time the size, the engagement, and the value of that audience? Because it's not something that you just build and you're done. You have to continue to build your audience. So, for those who've read the book or see me speak, I'm a big fan of Premier League football. I follow Tottenham Hotspur, and you know, the other big story last year was, you know, Manchester United's kind of fall from grace. You look at Manchester United, that's one of, if not the biggest club in the world, but they are constantly working through sponsorship and advertising to gain new fans around the world. They're constantly working on that so that the next tour that they have to Asia, there are more people in the stands, more people watching their games on television so that the value of the brand increases. So I want all brands to think like that. I want them to understand now, because of instantaneous worldwide distribution, you have an audience you can take and bring with you and grow over a period of time. It's not something that you just do when you need it. It is very much an effort you have to have continuously going on. So another way to look at it is the content marketing world is exploding right now. Yeah. And content is a great way to attract an audience. But if that content attracts an audience and you don't have a capture mechanism to ask for the email address or to get the folks to engage with you on one of the social channels or to like you or follow you or what have you, you're reinventing the wheel the next time you go out with that content. And it means you're going to have to pay for advertising likely to promote that content more than you would have if you had looked at that content and said, okay, how are we going to not just launch this, but build the audience the next time we have more people there? So that's kind of the first and biggest issue, is the philosophy of audience development. But, you know, beyond that is understanding that we have to be strategic with these channels, not just tactical. And the way that marketing has evolved over the last decade has had to have been very tactical, because these channels have come so fast and furious. You have to go in and understand the nuts and bolts, right? How do I actually execute? How do I use Snapchat? How do I do social advertising on Facebook? Those are very tactical kind of decisions. But now we can take a step back and say, okay, we know that how these channels work. And yes, new ones may crop up. But if we know our consumer, we know where they live, we know what channels and mobile devices they're using, now how do we really develop the audience, engage them, keep them coming back, increase share of wallet so that we increase value, and ultimately do that on a permanent basis so that we have constant programming and strategies in place to grow the audience in those three aspects, size, engagement, and value, instead of just assuming that they're going to grow on their own. And that assumption is what I'm hoping to root out of marketers' minds, because there are so many folks who still have that build it and they will come mentality. And that's just, that's a recipe for disaster today with as many things competing for consumer attention as we have.
Yeah, there's plenty of competition out there. In your book, you segment audiences. And can you tell us about the three segments and how do you work to attract each segment? You know, how are they different?
Sure. So I was trying to provide some language around this. It was an interesting process writing the book, because I first went in thinking, okay, I'm going to write a book based on our research series that we had done called Subscribers, Fans, and Followers at Exact Target, which is now part of the Salesforce Marketing Cloud. And as I looked at that, Subscribers, Fans, and Followers, I realized was a subset of a much larger audience discussion. And if you look at the three broad categories, there are seekers, there are amplifiers, and there are joiners. The seekers are the people who may or may not have a brand affiliation with you, but they're out there looking for information or entertainment. And so they have a kind of an instantaneous need, and when they fulfill it, they're there and gone. And so seekers were most often attracting through search engine marketing, through paid advertising. And as we think about that audience, our objective has to be, how do I capture that instant attention and convert it into another audience with which I can have more interaction, more permanent interaction, and then again, I can convert them into a customer. Customer being kind of the ultimate form of audience. So the seekers, temporal, we get them through advertising, search engine optimization, etc. Over in the middle, there's this group I call kind of the amplifiers. And those are the folks that we think of most often with social media. But if you look at that group, it used to be the folks that just PR dealt with, right? The analysts, the influencers, the press. But now everybody is an influencer. Everybody has a social network, whether it's just by word of mouth or it's their Facebook fans, their Twitter followers, etc. So when you look at amplifiers, this is somebody who's looking for influence or access to information so that they can then publish out to their network, to their audience, and gain some sort of prestige, gain some sort of value because they're providing valuable information or something that's funny or something that, you know, just kind of amuses people. But the bottom line is the amplifiers are audiences with audiences. And again, if you look at that group, they're temporal. Once they amplify, they're there and gone. And so, yes, it's wonderful to get that amplification. But again, I want to graduate them into kind of the third group. So seekers, amplifiers, joiners. Joiners is where I have got the ability to hopefully message them directly. Again, the ultimate joiner being a consumer, they join with their wallet. And short of that, short of getting the actual customer, the purchaser, I perhaps want to get them as a subscriber, fan, or follower. Those are a subset of the joiners. And subscribers, you know, most often you think of email, but also text messaging. And the fans, you most often think of, you know, Facebook. And with followers, you most often think of Twitter. But we all know that there are other channels out there, like a subscription channel that is tremendously valuable right now is YouTube. Because those subscribers get notified either in their stream or via emails from YouTube when you post new videos. And you're seeing brands and individuals have tremendous success building a subscription, a subscriber base. They're a group of joiners. And joiners, what they want is they want the information that's kind of promised to them when they sign up sent through the channel they request. And so there's this kind of closer proximity there and a continuous ongoing form of communication that is not present with seekers and with amplifiers. But with all three of these groups, they're not mutually exclusive. I can be a member of all three of those audiences for a particular brand. You know, so for instance, I went and saw a comedian, Joe Amaki, at Caroline's in Times Square just this last weekend. And I follow him on Twitter. I then tweeted about the show because he was really funny. So I became an amplifier. And earlier in the day, I was a seeker. I was searching for what comedians were performing in Times Square. And so Caroline's did a good job of capturing that interest, converting me into a customer of theirs. But by extension, I then became a follower of Joe and Caroline's. And so you begin to see kind of these are intertwined concepts. But when you think of it from an audience standpoint, instead of just social media, you begin to broaden your horizon and think beyond, you know, perhaps just Facebook, just Twitter. You begin to think email, you begin to think YouTube, you begin to think text messaging, you begin to think, okay, how do I pull this person into, you know, a CRM system so I can truly have a single view of this consumer and now build a relationship as hopefully on their, you know, their journey with me as a brand over time, I can continue to add value. And, you know, when Joe comes to Cleveland, where I live, Cleveland, Ohio, you know, I will quite likely be a purchaser of tickets. So now he's got me in the Twitter stream. If I see that tweet, you know, I'm likely to purchase. But he'd be wise probably to engage with me and try and get me into an email list because I'm more likely to see the email because of how that structure works than a tweet, which is, you know, far more of a waterfall of information where I may only capture, you know, 5-10% of the tweets that happen in a day.
Absolutely. And what's, if you look at how companies can build an audience on social media specifically, you've already given some tips already, but what would you say are your top three tips to brands and companies?
So first of all is to optimize your paid media. Most companies are already doing some form of advertising, and most are thinking it's enough to brand or just try and sell in the moment. We're asking too little of our paid media in many instances. It can also capture the audience for us. And by that, I mean to say, boy, if you've got a 30-second commercial, don't just slap up a Facebook logo or a Twitter logo. That's advertising for them. Actually integrate into the creative some sort of interaction that gets them to pick up the mobile phone or to go online and, you know, register for email. And again, this takes collaboration with the brand side. And this is where the tension is right now in a lot of those organizations, because brand wants to do these beautiful campaigns and the digital direct folks want to build audience. And we haven't, you know, really had those two groups get together and understand they're not mutually exclusive. They can work together. So here in the States, one of the most successful Super Bowl commercials last year featured John Krasinski of the American version of The Office. And he's talking about this pile of money he has in front of us that Esurance, the advertiser, had saved by running their commercial at the end of the Super Bowl. So instead of costing $4.5 million, their commercial cost $3 million, I think. And they were giving away $1.5 million if you would tweet in Esurance save 30 as a hashtag. Huh. And they saw millions of people do that. They saw billions of impressions. They didn't even ask you to follow them, and they gained, I think, something like 80,000 or 100,000 followers. And so the creative and the audience acquisition was in the actual ad itself. And so whether that's television, things, you need to be thinking about that. Second is, don't forget mobile. The vast majority of consumers today now have mobile devices that basically allow for direct response if only you ask them to do something. And that's why it's interesting to me to see so many ads and other things that never have a call to action, when in fact, if the ad captures the person's attention and they have interest, you know, give them a way to interact. And that becomes a way that you can get them to subscribe via SMS or scan something or take some step that will actually get them into one of those permission-based audience channels. And I think the third one is to look at what's happening in the hybridization of social advertising and email and online. Really interesting things happening there as social media comes of age. For instance, you've got the custom audiences product from Facebook, which allows you to map your email subscribers to your Facebook fans. And what that allows you to do is a number of things. I can now go in and I can target advertising to the people who are my Facebook fans but aren't email subscribers. And what kind of ad would I want to put to them? I'd probably want to incentivize becoming an email subscriber. Because being a Facebook fan is great, but we all know as Facebook has grown in popularity, the distribution of our organic posts has dropped. And so to get that Facebook fan to be an email subscriber gives you control of the cadence, gives you another channel so that you can diversify and you can have multiple points of contact with that consumer. It also, the custom audience product, allows me to see who are the people, pardon me, who are, you know, what's the demographic profile of somebody who's a Facebook fan and an email subscriber, kind of the most loyal in that instance. And what I want to do then is use that demographic profile and perhaps map it against people who have no brand exposure or relationship to me, because those folks might be the best prospects for my business. So that really intrigues me, because that product, I can't even, you know, do that kind of segmentation, that kind of targeting in Facebook unless I've built an email audience, my subscribers, and a Facebook audience, my fans. So, you know, those three things, you know, looking at the advertising, seeing how you can use that, looking at mobile for additional means of capture, and looking at social advertising as a way to not only have much more targeted ads, but as a way to gain audience in other channels, I think are three pretty key ways in 2015 that folks can, you know, take advantage of kind of the audience philosophy and build these responsive audiences that are going to ultimately deliver some competitive advantage.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think you mentioned a custom audience with, you can measure, well, you can compare your email list to your Facebook followers. I think you can do the same on Twitter.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And again, any innovation you see in one of the channels, it's quite likely if it succeeds, you'll see it in the other social channels, because all of this is evolving right under our feet. And it's very reminiscent of what happened back in the day with Google AdWords, which was actually not the first paid search network, right? You had Overture. Prior to that, it was GoTo. So, you know, you had these different channels evolving paid search to the point where it is today. We're right in the heart of the same type of evolution with social. And again, know where your consumers are. Don't just guess. And then look to optimize your messaging and your advertising efforts in those channels. Because again, the whole audience, proprietary audience development idea is we have the ability to build these direct audiences. We're never, it's going to be a rare company that can completely depend on the audiences they build for all of their marketing. You're going to have to do third-party advertising, but your third-party advertising can work better, can be more cost-effective if you have your own audience layered on top of it and you can go direct to them at any time, you know, without additional cost.
Yeah. And you mentioned about the evolution of social media. I read an article the other day saying social media is basically dead. It's all now about messaging apps. I think Paul McCartney launched his new song with Kanye West on the Japanese messaging app Line
mm-hmm.
the weekend. What are your thoughts on messaging apps? Are they the big thing for 2015?
Oh, well, I mean, they're huge in Asia right now. I mean, Line is huge. China has got a variety of different apps that it really subsume a lot of the individual types of services that we're familiar with, both in North America and in the UK and Europe. So I think, you know, brands that are international in scope certainly need to be paying attention to the over-the-top apps in those countries and seeing if they move over here. But if you look at what those apps do, they're really an aggregation of direct messaging, social, you know, they're not social killers. They really are subsuming a lot of those social activities and then combining it with things that maybe some people don't think are social, but, you know, again, what's more social than two people, you know, talking to each other, be it face to face or through text messaging or an over the top app. It's just a question of what those particular apps are going to allow in terms of multi-person or group messaging. So I certainly think that there, and we're bullish online. We're doing a number of things at Salesforce Marketing Cloud in terms of working and supporting that platform. But the core concepts are not new. It's about, okay, how do I build my audience, my direct audience online, so that when I publish something, a piece of content, to your example, the Kanye and Paul McCartney single, it goes out to more people than the last time I published something. And how do I keep those people engaged over time when I don't have big announcements? So now you have to have a tactical approach to think about, okay, I have to continue to gain their attention, because if you just do one big splash like that and then you go away for months on end, the next time you come back, the audience isn't going to necessarily be as engaged. Not everybody has the brand name recognition of a Paul McCartney or a Kanye West. So that constant engagement as a brand, it becomes important. And then the third thing is evaluating that value, right? If you do a big splash like that online or any of the over-top apps, and it does not produce value, you need to be assessing if that's the place you belong in the future. If it does deliver, then you've got to go in there and think about, okay, how do I nurture and continue to grow this audience so I can continue to gain value? Those assessments are the same whether you're dealing with over-the-top apps or what we would think of as traditional social media apps or email. All of these things continue to evolve and change, driven by consumer behavior, driven by mobile adoption. You know, the great mobile migration of most of our communications into smartphones has had a huge impact on all these channels. It's actually made email more relevant than perhaps it's been in the last, you know, 5 years. So it's ultimately up to you as a brand to continue to evolve with your consumer. But I would not bet the bank on headlines in marketing. Things that say anything is dead, and I have a big part of a presentation I give on this. I have a collection of articles dating back the last 10 years that say email is dead, Facebook is dead, Twitter is dead, texting is dead. And the fact of the matter is those are clickbait articles ironically designed to get eyeballs to build their own audience so that that paper or that digital resource can sell more advertising. Yep. So the irony is those very articles that put fear and doubt in you are trying to build audience. So it's an example that everybody's doing it. It's just a question of who's going to be doing it best and building those relationships and having those one-to-one relationships so that you can not just communicate once, but communicate hopefully over the customer journey and hopefully touches your products and services multiple times.
Great. So thanks very much for your time today, Jeff. Just a final question, really. Can you recommend any further resources? Where can people learn more about perhaps your book and Salesforce methodology? And also, how can people connect with you?
Absolutely. So anybody who's interested in kind of Salesforce Marketing Cloud, just Google that phrase or go to salesforce.com and click on the Marketing Cloud. You know, our vision is really to help brands manage the customer journey at scale on that one-to-one basis. And that's the vision going back to Peppers and Rogers' One-to-One Future book, which came out, 21 years ago, was the idea that we could have these relationships at scale now thanks to technology. And so it's cool to be, you know, with a company that's executing that. If folks are interested in the book, audiencepro.com is where you'll find out more information. It is available on Amazon, both in Kindle and hardcover format. You can follow me on Twitter at JKRoars. And it's my honor to co-host the Social Pros podcast with Jay Baer of Convince and Convert every week. And so if you're looking for a podcast, a marketing podcast to add to your listening repertoire, just go to socialpros.com and it's available on iTunes and Stitcher and all that kind of good stuff. We do that weekly and basically talk to real folks who are doing social media within large brands on a weekly basis. We have one guest per week and dig in pretty deep. So that's a lot of fun. And if you are ever in beautiful Cleveland or Lakewood, Ohio, where I live, please look me up. Always happy to have a cup of coffee or, as it were, if you read the book, a grilled cheese sandwich at Melt Bar and Grilled with you.
So. Yeah, sounds great. Thank you very much for your time today, Jeff.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. You can read the notes from this interview at linkhumans.com and feel free to tweet feedback and or questions to us at linkhumans and be sure to check out the SM Knowhow hashtag. Until next time.